You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to my podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us. Tell your friends about us. I'm talking to you and taping right now as we're getting ready to head into Father's Day weekend. So let me begin by wishing you a happy Father's Day. My children are all grown and married, but we will still be getting together, our families, our extended families, to celebrate. And look, if you're a dad out there and you need any help with all the challenges of being a dad, I hope that there's plenty of resources at the James Dobson Family Institute. Dr. Dobson has devoted a good bit of his life to not only helping men and women be good mothers and fathers in strong marriages, but giving guidance about how to best raise your children in a godly way and how you can fulfill the responsibilities and the obligations that God gives specifically to men to be good fathers and to be good husbands. So I encourage you to always come to Family Talk and always come to JDFI to get that kind of guidance. Well, I want to talk to you today about the really troubling images I suspect all of us have seen in recent days, the anarchy and lawlessness that's been unfolding in major U.S. cities is deeply disturbing. And I want to begin with what I hope is something that everyone will agree about. But, you know, I can't assume anything because there's a lot of confusion about a lot of issues in America today. And there's even confusion in the church about things which just a few years ago everybody would agreed about. But I think as we've gotten away from God's word, and even the churches have on some occasions drifted away. So let me just begin by saying something that I think is as clear as can be, but I feel a need to say it anyway. No Christian, no follower of Jesus Christ can support or justify the violence that has been taking place against federal immigration police in Los Angeles and other cities in recent days. There's just no biblical justification for that. Now, let's get down to the basics, really, to begin. Our immigration law, we live in a free country. So that means we get to elect the people that govern us. Our immigration laws are passed by members of the United States Congress that are elected by the people. That's you. And those laws, when they're passed, are signed by whoever's president of the United States. After the laws are passed and the president signs them, they are now official. And then, when it comes to immigration laws, immigration police officers are charged with enforcing those laws and arresting or detaining those who have violated the laws. Now, that's what's currently going on. It's immigration authorities attempting to enforce the duly passed laws of the United States in cities like Los Angeles and other cities around the country are attempting to enforce those immigration laws. So, how did we get here? How did we get to this particular point where federal immigration police are all over the country needing to enforce laws that have been violated? Well, in the previous 4 years, leading up to the presidential election in November of 2024, America's borders, particularly the southern border, was virtually erased. I mean, that's unbelievable to think about, that, but that's what happened. Look, you can't be a country if you don't have definable borders and you regulate who is able to cross those borders and come into the United States. Now, no one knows the exact number of how many people illegally crossed our border during those 4 years. And that tells you something right there. Look, we can count everything, right? We know exactly how many dollars comes into the federal treasury. We know how much money is spent. We have a census every year where we count the number of people in the United States. There's all sorts of counting we do. But because our borders were so open and the immigration laws were not being enforced, we don't have an exact number of how many undocumented migrants, illegal aliens, entered America during those years. The estimate is somewhere between 10 and 12 million. I'm seriously, we can't get it down to closer number than that. There's a on the low side, a 10 million figure, on the high side, a 12 million figure. That's unbelievable. Now, yeah, we all have short memories. There's so much news out there. So we're just inundated every day with all kinds of images, news, information. You remember though, right? You remember what we were seeing during those 4 years? Remember the so-called caravans? Man, I still think about that. That was unbelievable. You literally would get these reports that gatherings were forming in other countries, in Honduras or Guatemala or El Salvador or in Mexico. And these gatherings of people were estimated at 6,000 and then 8,000 and then 10,000 and then 12,000. And they were announcing to anybody that listened that they were going to march right into the United States of America. And the news media would start following these caravans of thousands and thousands of people that were increasing in numbers as they went. And if in these other countries between where the caravan would start and the United States, somebody, the police in those countries or sometimes the military would try to stop these marchers on the way to America, the marchers were in such numbers, they would just sweep any opposition out of the way. And they would get to the United States border. And they would just walk in by the thousands. There were weeks when 200,000 people walked into America. Do you remember the images of trains heading north to south? And these trains were bringing in regular passengers or they were bringing in products or whatever. And on the roofs of the trains, there would be hundreds, if not thousands, of people on those roofs. I remember at one point Texas tried to secure the border in Texas because the previous administration was refusing to secure the border. And so the Texas on its own brought up the Texas National Guard to guard a part of the border. And hundreds of illegals gathered on the other side of the border, pushed the fence down, assaulted the Texas National Guard, and ran into the country anyway. So these images and these hundreds of thousands and then millions of people that walked into America, that became a major issue in a 2024 presidential election. Polls indicated, almost all the polls, that along with the economy and a couple of other things, people were voting on this issue. And the analysts here, that do politics here in Washington, have done their analysis, and they believe the open border, the illegal immigration, was a major reason that Donald Trump was elected in a landslide electoral college. So President Trump, when he was running for office for another 4-year term, he said he would stop the illegal immigration and he would get the people out of the country that came here illegally. So I assume all of us are happy that the illegal immigration into the country has virtually been stopped. And I have to confess, I thought when he promised he would do that, I thought, how? I mean, because we just saw 4 years where The previous president said there was no way to stop it and didn't even try to stop it. But in fact, the research, the figures show that illegal immigration into the United States, write this down because it's almost unbelievable, it's been decreased by 95%. That's astonishing. But he was able to do it. So now the task is getting the 10 to 12 million undocumented aliens that entered the country back out of the country. And the reason we have to do this is that many of these people actually were criminals, or they were engaged in criminal activity in the countries they came from. Others came from terrorist countries. You know, in some months, we interacted with illegal immigrants at the border from 100 different countries. I find that to be astonishing. So now the Trump administration is trying to fulfill their other promise of getting people out of the country, and they wanted to begin that because you can't get 10 or 12 million of them out all at one time. They want to do that by beginning with those that have entered the country illegally, and this is important, have committed additional crimes after they got into the United States. And that is what was going on in Los Angeles this past weekend. Federal immigration police were attempting to serve warrants on illegal aliens that have committed additional crimes in the United States. Now, we are very blessed to live in the United States of America. I think enforcing these immigration laws, that's really a good thing to do. But you may disagree, or maybe your neighbor disagrees. Well, because we live in a free country, all of us have the right to disagree. We have the right to peacefully assemble and say, we don't like these immigration laws and we wish you would stop enforcing them. That would mean we were not only exercising our right to assemble, but we would also be exercising our right of free speech. That's all fine. That's all good. Your freedom of speech is pretty broad. It includes almost anything you want to say, unless somebody starts using their freedom of speech to urge violence or to urge rioting, then that freedom of speech can be also regulated. But peacefully assembling is not what we've seen in Los Angeles and unfortunately in a number of other American cities. Police officers have been physically attacked. Stores were looted and vehicles set on fire. Major highways have been shut down by demonstrators blocking those highways and putting the lives of people in cars in danger. There were attempts to take over federal government buildings. Police stations were vandalized. Many in the mobs that formed waved the flags of foreign countries while burning the American flag. I just want to do a little detour here. The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that it's freedom of speech to burn the American flag. Now, I disagreed with that ruling, but that's what the ruling was. Now, that doesn't mean you can steal somebody else's American flag or take an American flag down from a flagpole outside a government building and set it on fire. You can't do that. But if you want to go out and spend your money to buy an American flag and burn it, the Supreme Court says that's your right to do. You can wave the flags of other countries. That's part of free speech too. But I have a right under our Constitution to reach certain conclusions about people to do that. And I can just tell you that I don't think very highly of them. And I think generally as a country, we should be alarmed if we routinely start seeing in our cities people burning the American flag while they wave the flags of other countries. That would not be a positive thing to see in America. Now, federal immigration police have limited resources. And as I said, because they can't get 10 million people out of the country all at the same time, they're using their limited resources to try to get the worst of the worst out of our country. People that came in illegally and have committed crimes while they've been here. So when immigration police last weekend attempted to serve warrants and take into custody people in Los Angeles, they were individuals that had committed additional crimes. In the law enforcement operation in Los Angeles, among those that were arrested were men charged with, listen to this, attempted rape, sexual battery, assault with a deadly weapon, drug smuggling, child cruelty, and human trafficking. Now, seriously, are there people in Los Angeles that are really angry that those types of individuals are being taken out of Los Angeles? What possible reason would anybody want for people like that to be allowed to stay in America? And it's not just Los Angeles. In Houston, Texas, a week or so ago, a group of 142 criminal aliens were taken into custody. Among them, they had committed a total of 473 crimes, including many violent offenses. Does any normal city believe it is unjust, unwise, or unreasonable for our government to remove dangerous individuals from our communities? Now, I believe there's a number of reasons for the violence we've seen in Los Angeles in the last week. Some of that has been because of the rhetoric that has been used, unfortunately, by elected officials, including the governor of California, who has referred to police, immigration police, and those that are just doing their job as being totalitarians or Nazis or authoritarians. That type of rhetoric stokes the type of violence we have seen in recent days. In addition to that, there are people that want the violence. There are anarchists in the crowd. I know a lot of people don't even think about this, but we have a certain segment of our population, predominantly in urban areas in America, who are anarchists. They want no law. They thrive on disorder. Some of them will say when they're apprehended, they want the whole country to burn down. Some of these people, you'll see them, they're all dressed in black. They attempt to stoke the violence. And so this is what American law enforcement is dealing with. Now, I know that there are, you know, the country's deeply divided about Donald Trump. I'm a fan of Donald Trump's. I like what he's doing. Other good people can be against Donald Trump. I understand that. And so those people say, look, this is only happening because Donald Trump is doing things on immigration that no president has ever done before. Sorry, fact check time. That's just not true. Bill Clinton, a Democrat president, when he came into office, tripled the number of deportations of illegal immigrants that had been carried out by the previous president of the United States. And in case you don't remember who that previous president was, it was George H.W. Bush. So Bill Clinton, a Democrat president, kicked out of the country three times as many illegal aliens as former President George H.W. Bush did. And if you go back and look at the news articles at the time, most of the media, most of people that identify on the political left really weren't saying much of anything about that. Barack Obama, first man of color to be elected president of the United States. He actually holds the record for the total number of illegal deportations of any president in the history of the United States. He deported 3 million illegal migrants into the United States. Neither President Clinton nor President Obama had to deal with the kind of violence being deployed right now against federal immigration police. So obviously, respect for the law in America has dramatically declined. And I'll go further than that. Dr. Dobson and I have talked about this quite often. It's not only that there's been a decline in respect for the law, there's been a decline in the number of people in America that look to the Bible for guidance about how we should look at the law. And so as more and more Americans moved away from biblical principles and moved away from God, we've seen more law-breaking and we've seen further disrespect for the police and those that keep us safe. You know, God's word is very clear about how we are to approach the law. Let me quote to you from Romans 13, the first 4 verses. It says this: "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist, the authorities that is, have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad conduct." That means a government official is not a danger to you if you're doing the right things. But if you're engaged in bad things, then a government official is a problem for you. The verse goes on to say, "Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good." Now, this biblical injunction is not saying that we can't work to change laws if we think those laws are unjust. But if the law is on the books, then we are supposed to obey the law, or we can choose to engage in civil disobedience. That means nonviolent disobedience. That's what Martin Luther King did during the Civil Rights Movement. There were sit-ins and so forth, and Martin Luther King and civil rights leaders were arrested because they had violated the law. But by doing this nonviolent resistance, they built up pressure among other Americans to change what were seen as being unjust laws. Martin Luther King did not lead violent attacks on law enforcement. He conducted a campaign of nonviolent resistance. And I believe the Bible allows that. What it doesn't allow is violently resisting government authorities. Now, again, we're fortunate to live in a country where we are allowed to gather, to speak out against laws we don't like. We are not allowed, nor does our Christian faith permit us, to engage in violence against lawful authorities who are trying to do their job. So this is a very important moment in America. For the dads out there that will be celebrating Father's Day or just celebrated Father's Day, this is a good reminder. You need to talk to your children, particularly your sons, about respecting authority by obeying rightful and lawful orders of the police. That's one of the things as fathers we're required to do. To churches out there, this is a good time for pastors to preach to your congregation for respect for the law. And I'd like to also ask you to join Dr. Dobson and JDFI in praying for peace in America's streets, praying for safety for the brave men and women of law enforcement whose job it is to protect us from criminals, human traffickers, and drug cartels, and to join us in praying that our nation will turn our hearts back to the God of the Bible. Well, thanks for being with us on Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, and be back with us to talk about issues facing the church in America today.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.